Welcome to the Living Word with Chuck Davis.
War against the Lamb, Revelation 17, 1-18. And one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great prostitute who is seated on the many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed sexual immorality, and with the wine of whose sexual immorality the dwellers on earth have become drunk. And he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was full of blasphemous names, and it had seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and jewels and pearls, holding in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the impurities of her sexual immorality. And on her forehead was written a name of mystery, Babylon the Great, mother of prostitutes and of earth's abominations. And I saw the woman drunk with blood of the saints and blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I marveled greatly. But the angel said to me, 'Why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast with the 7 heads and 10 horns that carries her. The beast that you saw was and is not, and is about to rise from the bottomless pit and go to destruction. And the dwellers on earth, whose names have not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will marvel to see the beast, because it was and is not and is to come.' This calls for a mind with wisdom. 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman is seated. There are also 7 kings, 5 of whom have fallen. One is, the other has not yet come, and when he does come, he must remain only a little while. As for the beast that was and is not, it is an 8th, but it belongs to the 7, and it goes to destruction. And the 10 horns that you saw are 10 kings that you have not yet received royal power, but they are to receive authority as kings for 1 hour together with the beast. These are of one mind, and they hand over their power and authority to the beast. They will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those with him are called and chosen and faithful. And the angel said to me, 'The waters that you saw where the prostitute is seated are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages. And the 10 horns that you saw, they are the beast, and the beast will hate the prostitute. They will make her desolate and naked and devour her flesh and burn her up with fire. For God has put it into the hearts to carry out his purpose by being of one mind and handing over their royal power to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman that you saw in the great city that has dominion over the kings of the earth.'" Wow, try to break this down and explain it quickly. I think we need to remember now our hermeneutical principle that these images are to create an imagination and not to be things that we assign specific historical reality to. There's one school that suggests that the 7 hills are the 7 hills around Rome, and that the different kings are the different leaders or Caesars of Rome. I'm not sure that's the intent here. This great harlot who has written on her forehead Babylon is an expression. It's the outward expression of rebellion that finds itself in the structures of cities. We see in other contexts that the nations are represented this way. Jeremiah even says that Judah has played the role of the harlot in idolatry. What we see in this is this kind of mimicking royalty through the pomp of all of the images. But the bottom line is that this is a movement against the people of God, drunk with the blood of saints and martyrs of Jesus. There's a cooperation that's happening between the kingdom of darkness, the beast, the dragon, this great harlot, and these human representatives, kings and governments. Maybe we might say the beast of the sea and the beast of the land. They work in a power and authority that flows from the kingdom of darkness. And their partnership is to make war on the Lamb and all of his followers. The war is real and it's intense. But the declaration is the Lamb will conquer them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. It's interesting. Multiple times in Revelation, it says that the Lamb has already conquered them. So there's this experience of the reality of the winning of the war, but there are battles that continue to be won. Those with him are called the chosen and faithful. The idea is that we are in this battle with him. We are his foot soldiers in the movements on this earth. So what of this passage, I think, is found in this idea that there's a whole system, organized, strategic, authority-releasing, power-wielding, that seeks to do battle against the church and the advance of God's kingdom. Bruce Metzger, who was a great New Testament scholar, says, maybe this is why it is so hard to be a disciple of Jesus. And by being a disciple of Jesus, I like to refer to being an apprentice in the Jesus way. I don't know about you, but I find it hard every day. I find the struggle against this world and the attractions of this world, coupled with my own flesh and knowing there's a kingdom behind it, to make it a struggle. This is why I say often, the Bible isn't just a love letter from God to us. It's a war manual so that we will do battle. It's not just battle for our own personal being. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. The church, us, the people of God, are to be moving against these things. And it means that we're going to find ourselves in danger's way. My now what is this? We've been hearing it over and over. Be alert. Don't be people that have put our head in the sand. C.S. Lewis says it this way, Satan wins if we give him too much attention or not enough attention. And I would just say the American expression of faith has not given enough attention to the nature of this movement against God. Secondly, pray. How do you overcome an evil kingdom? You bring in a new kingdom. And Jesus told us to pray that his kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. And then act, demonstrate, and announce that the kingdom is here. Be people of hope. Right now, there's a season in America where we're going to experience a new level of what we call Christmas blues and depression. People have lost their normal way of life, and they're not going to know how to work through this period of time in our history. There's going to be a subtle depression that's on the people. We should be people who live above that, knowing that our Lamb has conquered. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he is releasing his kingdom for those who will take hold of it. And so, Lord, today we give ourselves to you. With this backdrop of so much evil in our world, we pray that you would make us an expression of your light in this world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.